Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning, and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. Forgive me, I lost my train of thought. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Praise be to God. My devotional message this morning is entitled, Light Your World. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Praise God. Light has always been a symbol of life and important for survival. In ancient times, Israelite women checked their lamps throughout the night, making sure the light stayed strong and sent the message, all is well. However, we must never underestimate the importance of spiritual light. Christ shines through us as his followers. Jesus wants our lives to be like powerful lamps, sending our evidence of his presence and a beacon to those in darkness. When people see you, they should see the light of Christ and be drawn to God. So consider, can those around you see Jesus through your words and behavior? Does your life make others want to know more about the Lord? Perhaps your life is not what it should be at the moment. Maybe you are discouraged, feeling inadequate or defeated by the circumstances of your life. But remember that Jesus fuels your lamp. He is the one who shines through you and reminds you all is well. So make sure your light stays strong by turning to him for the strength and wisdom you need. Because he is the light of life and he wants to illuminate the world through you. Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, may others see your light in me and know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, we're going to acknowledge our God by saying, Good morning, Lord.
Away Spirit to come into your heart. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Kingdom of God. worship you,
Yeshua. Yeshua,
worship you,
Messiah,
worship you,
Yeshua,
worship you,
Yeshua,
worship you,
Yeshua,
worship you,
Messiah,
worship you, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you.
Suffering God, suffering God, suffering God.
Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Amen. Praise be to God. That's Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 12. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Praise God. And it says, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. Then I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. Amen. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway, measuring as he went. He took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankle. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. Amen. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its water will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from Egendi to the Eglain. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they filled the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Holy Father, we bow before your throne of grace and mercy today to thank you for the generosity of your heart towards us. We thank you for the gift of salvation from sin and for your Holy Spirit who lives within us. We thank you for this good day. We accept it as a gift from you, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for drawing us to this house of prayer and worship, that we might hear your voice and that we might sing and proclaim your praises. Accept our gifts and bless them to the end, that your kingdom might come to the hearts and lives of all people everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father God, move self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Now, with this morning's sermon, we come to the conclusion of this series of studies from the strange and penetrating prophecy of Ezekiel. It cannot be truthfully said that we enjoyed the oftentimes scattering words of this young prophet. For even though this highly imaginative and visionary young man wrote this prophecy 6 centuries before the birth of Christ, it seems that he has been reading our mail. For with the insensitiveness of a surgeon's scalpel, Ezekiel has probed deeply into our hearts. He has shown us ourselves as individuals, as a community of God's people. And as a nation, he has set forth clearly the unchangeable law of God. His demand for righteousness, for truth, for honesty in our dealings with both with God and with one another. Yet, at the same time, there has run through this hard and piercing prophecy an undeniable message of hope. In this last message from Ezekiel, we find a vivid description of another vision God gave to this prophet. Now, in this last recorded vision, God showed Ezekiel the temple in Jerusalem, out from under the foundation of that magnificent house of worship that flowed a river. This mighty river flowed down through the Arabah to the Dead Sea. As the water flowed, it changed that bleak, arid, blistering desert into a fertile and verdant, vibrant garden. In previous messages, we have listened as this versatile prophet dealt with commerce and politics and sociological issues. But now, in this last vision of the book, he spoke of the geographic of the land. Amen. Praise God. My text for this message is coming from Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 5, where we just read. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And my title for this message is simply this: A River in the Wilderness. In the dry desert area between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea, let's see the symbol of the destitution of a people. Now, to the east of Jerusalem, the land of Palestine is rugged. A great geological fault runs through central Palestine. At the lowest depth of this fault, 18 miles east of Jerusalem, is the Dead Sea, which is the lowest known spot on the surface of the earth. The Dead Sea is 1,292 feet below the level of the Mediterranean Sea. Jerusalem is located on a ridge about a half mile above sea level. To the west of Jerusalem, where there are mountains and gullies, moisture-laden clouds from the Mediterranean blow over Palestine. But east of the city, on the side of the ridge where the terrain drops steadily down to the Dead Sea, there is practically no rainfall. Thus, the desert of Araba that Ezekiel saw in his vision was rugged, barren, empty land. Through the Araba, this dry, desolate stretch of land flows the Jordan River from the air. The Jordan Valley is one of the most impressive sights you can imagine. It is a jagged streak of emerald green water cutting through the desert. Here and there, a skillful engineer has channels some life-giving water to relatively flat fields, which is vibrant and fruitful. This, then, is a brief bird's eye view of the natural geographic of the land. Now, perhaps it will help us understand that Ezekiel is talking about spiritual truth in the geographical terms. Amen? The river that transformed the wilderness into a veritable garden, the river Ezekiel saw in his vision, is not the Jordan. And the wilderness he saw is not really the Araba at all. It is a symbol of the spiritual dissolution in which Ezekiel's people were living and in which millions of people are living today. What Ezekiel is trying to say to us is this, and what the Bible declares to us is that a person's first need is for a right relationship with God. The inner person without Christ is desolate and unproductive. His or her hope is to be changed and redeemed by the grace of God. The Arab desert must be made to blossom like a rose. The soul of the Arabath was rich in minerals but poor in water. We are told that the oranges grow in those parts of the Arabath where engineers have diverted the waters of the Jordan to irrigate it are more luscious than Florida oranges. The soil in our own land cannot compare in mineral content with the soil in the Arabath. All of the potentially good soil in the Arabath is of no avail without water. Gotta have water in order for anything to grow. You must have water. Now this brings us to the river Ezekiel described. It is a most unusual river. It has no tributaries, only a source. Yet it flows through dry, thirsty countries. And as it does, it grows deeper and wider. And another peculiarity about this river is that it flows both uphill and downhill. What does this river represent in Ezekiel's vision as it flows through this dry, destitute wilderness? This river that flows from the temple of God is obviously the love of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The phrase, the love of God, has two meanings. It means that you love him and that he loves you. Like Ezekiel, we live in a time when people have grown cynical about many things. In Ezekiel's day, people were making clever and flim-flam remarks about God and religion to cover up their own spiritual emptiness. And we are hearing the same today. Even normal Christians do not take God and Christianity very seriously. They make cruel jokes about God and the church. They flimflamply refer to him as the big guy or the man upstairs. What is it that brings true joy to a Christian? It is the realization and confidence that in the midst of this muddled and messed society made of things, God is working out his purpose for eternity, and nothing or no one is going to stop him. Hallelujah. If we truly believe that then in the midst of the most devastating set of circumstances, we have something to be joyful about. But that isn't all. Ours is a day of tension. The storms of uncertainty swerve about us on every front. A quiet center, like the eye of the hurricane, around which the storms can blow as fiercely as it pleases. Ezekiel is talking about our quiet center with God. And he likens it to the river, the love of God, that brings fruitfulness and healing to the rich soil of our souls. There is something else about our love for God. It ought to be bringing direction and purpose into our lives. Our love for God can be called faith. Whereas his love for us is called grace. It doesn't much matter whether we call Ezekiel's river the stream of faith or of grace, in Christ, the two are bound into one. You love God. That means you know where the river is flowing. God loves you, my brothers and sisters. That means the river will reach its destination no matter what. At Christmas time, we sing joy to the world. The Lord is come. Another line of joy to the world says, he rules the world with truth and grace. Sometimes we forget this, for the desert is so wide and frightening. Sometimes we lose our faith, but God isn't lost. He knows the way. He has told us overcome evil with good, and he is the process of helping us do just that. Amen. Praise God. And finally, let's see the temple in this last vision of Ezekiel, the temple from which flow this life-giving river. We remembered that Ezekiel saw in his vision that the river flowing out from his temple transformed the desert. Now, the last 18 chapters of Ezekiel's prophecy are about the temple of God that stood in the midst of the land. And through it all, Ezekiel is telling us that worship is a person's central business in life. If you remember, back in the opening vision in chapter 1, Ezekiel showed us that the reality of worshiping God can take place anywhere, even down by the Shabar River. But at the same time, common sense and the evidence of history show that true worship must often take place in the hearts of the people who have formed the valuable habit of coming to worship in a place dedicated to that purpose. Ezekiel told us this by describing in careful detail the temple building. Now, here is something interesting, and it is the heart of this message and of this closing vision in Ezekiel's prophecy. With all of Ezekiel's emphasis on the temple, one would think that this river flowing from it would be its deepest in the area of the temple, right beside the sacred altar. But Ezekiel knew better than that. In the temple area where the river began, it was just a trickle. This stream of divine love shimmereth across the country, the courtyard, and through the eastern gate. A quarter of a mile away, that from trickle of divine love was beginning to be a recognizable stream. Another quarter of a mile, it was up to Ezekiel's knees. Twice more, the guide measured the stream. And at a distance of a little more than a mile, it was too deep to wade. Ezekiel saw lush vegetation along the banks, and the guide told him that those waters grew wider and wider and deeper and deeper. They brought healing to the land and produced unbelievable, luscious vegetation. And where does the love of God really count? Does it count most in the worship assembly? Certainly, it counts here as we worship together. But the point is, when we have sung our hymns, said our prayers, and listened to our sermons, we are not done with God. He wants our total lives, not just an hour of our time doled out to him on Sunday morning and evening. And as I close with this thought, what was Ezekiel saying? He was not saying that the temple, the church, and its worship service are not important. He wasn't saying that. For the miracle of worship is more likely to begin right here than in any other spot on earth. But the point is, if our worship ends here, then there is no miracle. Nothing is going to be accomplished. What happens in this building is worship if it is fulfilled in your office, on your farm, or in your shop, on your job, in the schoolroom, and in your home. How deep is your river, your love for God, and his love for you? Has it transformed the wilderness of your life? Think about those questions. Amen. I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it is unto me. A river in the wilderness. Praise be to God. And if you, my brothers and sisters, those in Christ and those who are not, but one day will want to be, have not accepted him as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and falling short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me. Deliver me and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your son Jesus Christ died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. It is in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe that Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit that dwells within you to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25 in the King James Version, where it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. I woke up this morning to see a brand new day to give God the glory. So I am blessed.
Amen. Amen. I enjoyed your pastor's sermon, what I heard, and your passionate prayer. And I thank you for that.
Thank you. Praise be to God.
Glory to his name. I will be coming from The Profundity of God, a spiritual anthology of poetry by myself. And the name of this poem is Remember Not to Forget in Honor of Memorial Day. I have my Bluetooth on. If that's a problem, let me know if it's echoing or too far away or something.
Oh, no, it's good right now.
All right, great. Thank you. So once more, remember not to forget in honor of Memorial Day.
Amen.
May we never forget how good God has been to us in the good times, in the bad times. God is still good. He's good for so many reasons. Too many to count, I'm sure. You count yours while I count mine. You see what I'm talking about. The things God does, he doesn't have to do. But you know that the love he shows is unconditional. Whether we deserve it or not, by his grace, we serve a good God. He does all that he does because he loves us. So if you're feeling happy or feeling sad right now, remember, we serve a mighty good God. And he delivers somehow. Keep on believing and love him unconditionally. Remember, he's awesome, faithful, good, kind, amazing and highly esteemed. And yes, we're in his presence right here. In the Bible, the book of life, we win in the end. If you don't believe me, read the last page. We are overcomers. We get to see God's face. Be strong. Hold on. And know that we serve a mighty good God. Rejoice in that, child of God, and be glad. And be grateful. Praise God. To God be all the glory. Amen.
Amen. That was so beautiful.
To God be all the glory.
And so true.
Thank you.
And so
yes. Good. Hallelujah.
We've got to remember to put God in front of everything because he is our life, our controller. He guides us where he wants us to go. There is no one like him.
That's right. Cannot do anything without him.
No, we cannot. No matter how much we try. But if God is not in front,
it won't be done right.
Because he is our river in the wilderness. He's
yes.
He's our everything. How could we not love him?
Yes.
And all he asks us to do is to believe in him, have faith, trust in him that he will do what he said he would do.
Obey him.
Yes. Be kind to each other. Love on each other. That is what he wants us to do.
Right.
And serve no other God but him. Whew, that is powerful, powerful. Thank you so much for that. So it doesn't look like, well, I'm just going to close us out and this part, and then just play, like I said, maybe 15, 30 minutes of inspirational music and close down. Praise God. Yes.
Happy Memorial Day. If I don't speak with you again, I told you tomorrow I won't be on. I'll be attending a wedding.
Yes.
In Long Island. So, to God be all the glory. Love you and be safe and stay passionate. Amen.
Definitely be safe, because you know you're going and try your best, to stay your distance, because you know everybody is a suspect.
I know.
As much as we love each other, we are still suspects, because you just don't know.
And don't leave that mask.
That's right. Put some extra ones in your bag.
That's it. That's what I do. Yes.
Amen. So God bless you. I love you, and enjoy your day tomorrow.
Yes, and you too.
Please stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, we're going to leave out on all belongs to him. Where is it? Right here. All belongs to you by the Wiki Tones.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good one. Love you.
You too. Shalom.
Shalom.
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Pray one for another.
Yo, Rob, what's up, dog? Yo, man, I heard, man, they were telling me that you ain't rolling with us. What's up with that? Listen, man, I'm over here, man. I got a C, man. Let's do this. Let's do this, bro. What up? Rob? Rob, are you there?
Amen. Can't turn back now. So let him lead. And Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is freedom. Excuse me, wisdom. Do you realize that it was pride that caused Satan's fall from heaven? God had given him a beautiful countenance and had created him to lead worship. But this wasn't good enough for the enemy. Instead of exalting the Lord, Satan wanted to be the one extolled. Instead of submitting to God's authority, he wanted to rule. And because of it, the enemy lost everything. The same is true for us. Every act of sin is an act of rebellion against God. And it all comes from our desire to lead and not follow. The enemy tempts us to question God's goodness and authority, suggesting we have not received all that should be ours, thinking we know better than the Lord. We depart from his path, seeking our exaltation and forgetting how much God has blessed us. This is why pride is such a destructive force. It leads us away from the true fulfillment to personal ruin and deep loneliness. However, you can prevent pride from controlling your life. Ask God to reveal to you any areas of arrogance in your life and humble yourself before him by letting him lead you. Then worship the Lord, because certainly he will lift you up. James 4:10. Jesus, I repent of my prideful ways and submit to your leadership. You are the only one worthy of all my worship and praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. Every praise belongs to him.
Let me hear the worshipers!
Take it up and praise. God.
Every word of worship.
With
one accord. Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
Every praise,
every word of worship,
with one accord.
Every praise,
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 seek my face. In Psalms 27 and 8, and the New King James Version says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Romans 13 and 14 says, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desire of sinful nature. 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Colossians 3 and 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Seek my face at the beginning of your day. This practice enables you to put me on and wear me throughout the day. Most people put on clothes soon after arising from bed. Similarly, the sooner you put me on by communicating with me, the better prepared you are for whatever comes your way. To wear me is essentially to have my mind, to think my thoughts. Ask the Holy Spirit to control your thinking. Be transformed by this renewal within you. Thus, you are well equipped to face whatever people and situation I bring your way. Clothing your mind in me is your best preparation for each day. This discipline brings joy and peace to you and those around you. Amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection. The Heart of the Spirit.
The Heart of the Spirit takes Jesus Christ.
God of the Spirit, choosing to persevere. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58, in the New King James Version, says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." A well life is like a marathon, not a sprint. It calls for preparation, determination, and of course, lots of perseverance. As an example of perfect perseverance, we Christians need no further than our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look no further. Jesus finished what he began. Despite his suffering and despite the shame of the cross, Jesus was steadfast in his faithfulness to God. We too must maintain faithful, especially during times of hardship. Sometimes God may answer our prayers with silence. And when he does, we must patiently persevere. Are you facing a tough situation? If so, remember this. Whatever your problem, God can handle it. Your job is to keep persevering until he does. Life is not a boring stretch of highway. It's a straight line to heaven. And just look at the field wiping along the way. Look at the tendency and endurance. Look at the grains of righteousness. You will have quite a crop and harvest. Don't give up. Failure is one of the most powerful teachers. How we handle our failures determines what we are going to simply get by in life or press on. Instead of being frustrated and overwhelmed by all that is going on in our world today, go to the Lord and ask him to give you his eternal perspective. Every achievement worth remembering is stained with the blood of diligence and scarred by the wounds of disappointment. Here's a thought for today. Life is an exercise in perseverance. If you persevere, you win. Philippians 3:13-14 in the CSB tells us, "Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by my God's heavenly call in Jesus Christ." Galatians 6:9. "So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will weep at the proper time if we don't give up." Hebrews 10:36. "For you need endurance, so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised." 2 Timothy 4:7 in the King James Version says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Praise be to God. Lord, when life is difficult, we are tempted to abandon hope in the future. But you are our God, and we can draw strength from you. Let us trust you, Father, in good times and in bad times. Let us persevere, even if our soul is troubled. And let us follow your Son, Jesus Christ, this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. We have about 17 more minutes, and I will continue with our inspirational music and our script reading of devotions. Amen? Praise God. Right now, I am going to play a selection by J.J. Harrisstone and Youth Praise. You deserve it.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
Yeah. Can we lift our hands together one time? My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on, make concert and say it.
anoint you. In 1 Timothy 6, 15 through 16, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. In James 4 and 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Acts 17 and 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. In Psalms 145, 3 through 6, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Again, let me anoint you with my presence. I am King of kings and Lord of lords, dwelling in unapproachable light. When you draw near to me, I respond by coming closer to you. As my presence envelops you, you may feel overwhelmed by my power and glory. This is a form of worship, sensing your smallness in comparison to my greatness. Man has tended to make himself the measure of all things. But man's measure is too tiny to comprehend my majestic vastness. That is why most people do not see me at all. Even though they live and move and have their being in me, enjoy the radiant beauty of my presence. Declare my glorious being to the world. Amen. And as we're coming to a closing of this part of our program for this afternoon, I will play our final and selection with Worth by Anthony Brown Group Therapy. God bless you. Thank you for showing up in the spirit, and have a wonderful weekend. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you
you came and changed my life. You thought I was the devil. You shot the light, your light, so I could be free. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody lift up the sound of worship in here. For people to make some noise in here.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.